Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Erica here, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is a podcast and also a blog. I'm just going to jump right into today's introduction. This week, I interviewed my lactation consultant, Laura, and I really just got so lucky because I randomly selected her from a list of providers that my insurance company covered. And as soon as I walked into her office, I literally clicked with her. She was always so super accommodating, always made me feel so incredibly comfortable, always respectful, so knowledgeable. Literally, I used to text her and email her in the middle of the night. And she was always just so responsive. So I definitely lucked out in connecting with her. She is a international board certified lactation consultant. She's a member of the New Jersey Breastfeeding Coalition, the New Jersey IBCLC Association, and the Pennsylvania Resource Organization for Lactation Consultants. She's been doing this since 2015. And she's a mother to two little girls who are absolutely freaking adorable. The name of the company that she co-owners is Lucky Baby Lactation. And they service New Jersey and a part of PA. You can definitely just head over to their Instagram or their website, Lucky Baby Lactation. And I'm pretty sure in this episode you'll hear the full story of why I went to Laura for her services. But I just want to say at the outset, if you are pregnant or if you're a new mama, or even if this is, you know, your fifth baby and you're going to attempt to breastfeed, I highly recommend getting a lactation consultant. I believe most insurance companies cover a couple of visits. Some of them visit your house. Some of them, they have their own office that you can go to. I know Laura's office does both. My insurance covered 6 full visits. There's no copay. I didn't pay a dime. And it was just so helpful. Like, in areas that I didn't even think I needed help, Laura would give me tips and tricks and facts. And it was just really nice to have that support. And I went to her once a week for a little bit. And then I went to her right before I went back to work because I just wanted some guidance on how I should approach pumping while at work. So this episode is about breastfeeding, and I'm going to release another episode this week that is exclusively about pumping. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'm definitely not an expert, but I'm feeling a lot more confident than I did a few months ago. And, of course, Laura. She's a phenomenal resource. All right, guys, let's jump right in. Okay, before I get into my interview, I just want to chat about this podcast episode sponsor, Pixel Eyewear. Okay. So if you check out my Instagram, you'll probably see me wearing these really cute blue-like glasses. And when I say blue twice, I mean that my frames are blue and super stylish, and they block out blue light. It's really important to protect your eyes, especially in this day and age. We are constantly looking at our phones and computers and the TV, and we are really damaging our eyes. I just read a survey the other week that said we spend over 70 hours a week, which is 280 hours a month, and 3360 hours in a year looking at digital screens, which is absolutely cringing, and the harm is so real. So what is the solution? Check out Pixel Eyewear. they actually block out 50% of the harsh blue light and up to 95% of the highest levels without distorting your color perception. So basically, when you look through the glasses, you don't see a difference. And I also want to note that somebody was asking me whether the frames or the glasses themselves were heavy, and they're not. They're super light. They're just like regular glasses. And the last thing I want to tell you about them is that they're offering everybody a sweet discount. So if you go ahead and use the code BYOK, you'll save a little bit and you'll be supporting the podcast. So I really appreciate Pixel Eyewear for supporting the BYOK podcast, and I appreciate all of you guys for supporting them. All right, let's jump into the episode. Welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Why don't we start off with you giving everybody a little bit about your background?
I moved to California after I had graduated high school, and I was a nanny for my aunt out there, and ended up going to school for a while, and then I got a job as a flight attendant for Continental Airlines. So I moved back here, loved it, but then once you settle down and have a husband and kids, it's not as conducive to my life anymore.
So how did you become a lactation consultant, and why did you want to become one?
So when I had my first daughter in 2012, I remember on day two or three, I was engorged and I could not get her to latch at all, and I went to my pediatrician and I said that she wouldn't eat, and I didn't know how to help her, and the pediatrician said that she wasn't sure how to help me, that to look for other resources. So at that point I knew that there weren't enough resources out there to help moms, and that's how I kind of got into this.
So what does your training entail as a lactation consultant?
There are actually three different pathways you can do, and I chose pathway three.
Lucy's giving her opinion over here.
Because I typically, like nurses,
So what was your training in becoming a lactation consultant?
So I thought I wanted to be a nurse when I went to school. So I had a lot of health education courses. So it actually requires 14 health science courses, 90 hours of online training, and then 500 clinical hours, which I did at Jersey Shore.
Wow, 500?
500.
So how long does it take you to complete 500 hours?
Well, I had a child at home. So even going, we ended up going 3 or 4 times a week. It took 6 months.
Wow. That's a lot of training.
It was a lot of training. But we got to see a lot of different things. We got to work with babies in NICU, postpartum, antepartum moms. So we got a feel for what it's like in the hospital setting.
So what is your day-to-day responsibilities? Because I know when I came here with Lizzie, I was more so concerned with her latch and having really sore nipples, but I know that your responsibilities really range from, you know, something as minor as what I'm dealing with or as different, as far as, you know, babies who just aren't gaining weight and, like, things that are a lot more severe. So, you know.
It ranges. I mean, and every mom that I see is completely different. I will see a mom that just got out of the NICU with her baby after 65 days. So it's such a process. And I want to fix everything in a day, but it's just continuous support that I want to give to these moms that need it. Or a baby, you know, that I had this morning that went from the 15th to the 23rd percentile in weight in like 2 weeks, which, it was incredible for like the mom and for me, and like that the baby is doing so well. So every day and every mom is so different, and it's so different. I never know what to expect.
So let's talk a little bit more about breastfeeding. What are the benefits of breastfeeding?
Well, there's so many benefits of breastfeeding, ranging from just even when the baby comes out, automatically you put them on your chest and their heart rate is regulated, their temperature is regulated just by being on your chest.
And that's called skin-to-skin, correct?
To skin, okay. Right. In the miracle hour. So if you look up, like, the first hour...
I never heard it called that before.
Yes, the miracle hour. And then, ranging from now, childhood cancers, it helps with obesity later in life. There are so many benefits. Like, skin-to-skin helps with... for nutrition, but even for comfort. There are just a lot of things that you see.
So what are some basics of breastfeeding? What are some things that new mothers should maybe read before they start breastfeeding or look to as a resource? I know me personally, I had sore nipples, and that's when I knew I needed help.
I want actually moms to know there's support ahead of time. So take a good breastfeeding class at the hospital you're going to deliver, or look for breastfeeding classes. Some of them are free that you could take before. Just knowledge. Read about it. Do a lot of research on your own. And then know that there's support out there. So I see moms before they even have the baby to, like, prepare. Like, this is what to expect. This is kind of... expectations are a huge thing, because I think that we are told... sometimes by different people that, like, their tummy sizes are so different. So in the hospital, like, the colostrum is such a small amount, but it's, like, honey-like and thick. And
so can you just tell us what colostrum is first?
Sure. Colostrum is before your milk comes in, it just has, like, that coating. Like, the first few days, it, like, coats their stomach and sets them up, like, long-term for so many things. It's a protectant for long-term. But it's just small amounts, because even at the beginning, the first couple days, like, their tummies are so small. The first few days of life, their tummy is, like, literally the size of a marble.
Aww.
And by the end of the week, it's like the size of a ping pong ball. So it's just smaller than I think we expect. So we have these expectations where these grandiose amounts, and we're always concerned about amounts, but in actuality, their tummy sizes are so small the first week of life.
Right, so we really don't need to worry about having, like, this huge milk supply that everybody talks about in the very beginning.
Right, or you hear, like, oh, that mom, like, pumps, you know, 40 ounces a day, or this mom pumps. It is.
I'm so envious when I see people pumping and they have, like, this huge supply, and I'm like, oh, my God, all I'm hoping is for, like, an extra 2 ounces so I can run to yoga class tonight.
Right, like, yes, exactly. And in actuality, like, they only really need, like, 3 to 4 ounces per feed until a year of life. So average amounts are like 24 to 35 ounces in 24 hours.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's really funny, because I literally pump just so I can leave the house, you know, once a week, and I'll leave like 4 ounces out, and I'll run to a grocery store, and I'll come back like an hour and a half later. And no lie, my husband would have given her, like, 6 ounces. I'm like, that's 2 weeks of supplies. Like, what are you doing?
We work really hard for that amount.
Yeah.
But just think of it as, like, an ounce an hour. So if you're leaving her for three is about average.
Yeah, not six.
Right.
An hour and a half. Level.
Yes. Make your husband get on the phone.
Right? That's a great way. So what are some ways to prepare for breastfeeding? Do you recommend getting a pillow? Do you recommend getting, I'm using a step stool here. Like, what are some little, like, tips and tricks you would give to, like, a first-time mom?
So I would just be concerned most with, like, getting yourself comfortable, which you really don't know until you get home. And that's hard, because I know a lot of the support is, like, in the hospitals, but it's not in the comfort of your own home. So we like to do in-home consults so then we could see you in your space, like, where you're comfortable, or even, like, the office, where, like, I know how you're positioning, like, we make it to be home-like, so then we know, like, what you need, where you need support. We love the breast friend, because we feel like it just contours to your body, no matter what size or shape you are. The boppy's great. It can be, like, if you can position it well, it's good for when they're older, too.
Right, and those are both breastfeeding pillows.
Right, exactly. Yes.
What about as far as, like, books? Do you have any book recommendations for breastfeeding, or blogs or things like that?
I told you I really like Lucy's List because I feel like it's humorous. It's funny. And then I love Kelly Mom because I feel like all the information on Kelly Mom, which I've sent you multiple times, is evidence-based. So nothing is like, and I think it's great to have mommy forums or like Facebook groups. There's one called Badass Breastfeeders of New Jersey, which provides a lot of mom-to-mom support. But I like that it's evidence-based, so at least you know the, where the information is coming from.
Now, what is a bad latch, and what are some repercussions of a bad latch?
So bad latch is when the baby is not on deep enough. So what happens sometimes is that they pull back and they're on your nipple. It's called breastfeeding for a reason. They're not nipple feeding. So when I hear moms that say, oh, they said my nipples were too short, they said my nipples were too fat, I don't care what your nipples look like, honestly. Yeah. They get on and they latch to your areola and to your breast, not to your nipples. So when you have a shallow latch or the baby pulls back, it could cause damage. It could cause it to split. It could cause bleeding, just pain in general. Breastfeeding should not feel painful. The initial latch on can be a little uncomfortable, but it should subside to where you're not in pain. It should be more like a pulling and a tugging than a pinching, or you'll know, like when they come off, if your nipple is lipstick shaped, pinched, pointed, it's not a good latch. You want it to be elongated and rounded to look like it should when they're not on your nipples.
Right. So just to reiterate, breastfeeding should not be painful.
It should not be painful. It could be uncomfortable the first couple days.
Right.
Because we're not used to having somebody suck on our nipples, obviously. Yeah. So it could be a little bit uncomfortable, but it should not be painful. And if it is, like, definitely reach out for support.
Okay. And I guess, like, while we're at it, like, who should be going to see a lactation consultant? Do you think every new mom should be seeing one, or should they only contact you if they're having issues? Like, what is your opinion in that regard?
I feel like every mom could benefit from support because we haven't done it before. This is a new experience. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no right or wrong way to do it. I just feel bad when I go in, like, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, and they're already so, like, off of their idea of what it should be, and then the baby's not gaining weight, or there's so many other things that could happen.
And you're already ready to quit at that point instead of just kind of modifying.
Right, or reaching out to say. It really is. And it's emotional. Like, we're in such a state between, like, emotions, hormones, we're exhausted, sleep deprived. It's just not our finest hour. I mean, it is because we're on such a high from this amazing gift that, you know, we were given, but at the same time, it's a very emotional time, and we're hard on ourselves. We really are hard on ourselves as mothers.
I totally agree. So, I mean, just even if you think you have the breastfeeding thing down, it doesn't hurt to go see a lactation consultant and just get that support and guidance. And
right, exactly, because I honestly feel like for breastfeeding, 50% is support, whether it be from your husband, partner, anybody that you can, like other moms. Support really is half the battle, just to know that, and there's no right or wrong way, just that you know that things are going well.
I agree. Now, say you do get sore nipples, so what are some solutions that you would encourage new moms to try?
So for sore nipples, I always recommend, one, correcting the latch, because that is what's causing the sore nipples. So you can heal your nipples with good latches, number one. But if they're like cracked, bleeding, I would not recommend the lanceunol or any kind of lanolin because it blocks, like, it traps in
bacteria. And what is that? Is that a nipple shield?
They're the nipple, the cream.
Like the
it's the purple bottle. We like to use these, like, natural things, which is great. It's just that one, I think, has some kind of sheep in it. So when it traps in the bacteria, so it could cause infection later. If you have cracked and open nipples, I would put breast milk on it, let it air dry, and then hopefully it will heal. For worse, I would say nipples that I've seen, I usually do, like there's silver, they're called the Silverettes, and then they have another brand too. And they actually are a shield that covers your nipple. So like when you put your breast milk on, let it air dry, and then put the silver, it's actual silver,
uh-huh.
put it over. It has healing properties, and they heal within 24 hours.
Interesting.
Yes.
What about those cooling pads? Do you recommend them, or is it, I kind of feel the same way about the bacteria with them, but I could be wrong.
I like the Amida hydrogels. Actually, that got me through my first breastfeeding experience. 7 days you can use them for. They're not available in the store. You can buy them on Amazon, right, or you can ask the hospital.
And I feel like they're kind of expensive.
They are.
To, like, keep buying them over.
Yes.
I feel like maybe they're, like, $12 for a set of two or something.
They're $14.71 or something on Amazon. But it, hopefully, with the short period of time, the 7 days, good latches and just healing of your nipples, then they'll be healed fast.
So do you not recommend creams of any kind to go on the nipple, or just that one kind?
Well, you can use, like, the natural, like,
Mother's Love.
Mother's Love.
That's the one I use.
Because it's all natural. Is there, like, olive oil? Like, anything natural is okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too.
Yes.
That's the one I really like.
And they're
like.
Good for moisturizing, too. So when you're on, like, the... If you use the pump, or if your nipples are just dry at the beginning, your nipples are dry. Like, it's like saliva on your nipples at all times. It's good for moisturizing.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen a difference. Like, when I use them on a consistent basis, the cream, I definitely feel a difference when she's latching on in the very beginning and it's, like, a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they're, like, dry. When they're dry, it's on. If they're moisturized, then, it's definitely more comfortable.
Totally. Okay, so now I always get confused between the two of these. What is the difference between a clogged duct and mastitis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, mastitis. So a plugged duct is when, like, you're not draining well. The baby's either not draining well or you're not draining your breast properly. So I see a lot of plugged ducts with moms that skip feeds. Like, they miss a feed for some reason, or they miss a pump session.
And can that just happen, like, one time? Like, you miss one session and then...
Yes. It's like a fullness. Like, so you'll feel really full. And almost like a golf ball. And some moms actually don't even feel it. Like, you could feel some... You could kind of feel, like, that ball in there. And you know that it's not draining well. And there's different things that you could do. Drain your breasts, number one, is really...
And when you say drain, you mean either pump or let the baby feed, right?
Right. And the baby's a better pump than the pump. So if you put the baby on, you could try different angles. You almost want to aim their nose to where that plug is.
Mm-hmm.
And they can help you drain it. You'll feel it, though. You even, like I said, one missed session and you'll feel pain. It's painful. It feels full. It's uncomfortable. You're like, something doesn't feel right.
How do you know when your breast is fully drained? And should your breast be drained after each and every... session of baby eating?
Right. The thing with drainage is it depends. Like, every feed is different. It depends how hungry the baby is. It depends the time of day. You're never completely empty. Your breasts are constantly refilling. So you're never on empty, ever, which is pretty incredible. It's like a constant refill. So that's how even, like, you can help your supply. Keep your breasts drained well, and you're going to continue to produce. Your milk's going to continue. So when I say you'll feel more empty.
Like, it'll be, like, softer, right?
Yes.
As opposed to, like, kind of, like, tight.
Right. Exactly. Like, some moms feel, like, a tingling sensation. Or, like, when it's time to eat, you know. Like, you'll feel it in your breasts. Like, I'm full. It's time for them to eat.
Now, when you are engorged, does that mean that you are not drained?
So engorgement is different from the beginning of a breastfeeding journey to, like, now. It's at the beginning, your body doesn't know how many babies you have. So your milk comes in and it's hormone based. So it comes in, some moms have an amazing supply. Some moms it takes a little while for some moms to have their milk come in. It just depends. So when your body produces this huge supply, which was my biggest issue with my first, I was engorged. So it's literally like latching a baby to a softball. It's not easy. It's not.
And I've had that before.
Yes.
Like, you literally can't sandwich your boob
right.
to, like, put it in the baby's mouth like you're supposed to.
Yes, exactly.
It's the worst.
So it's hard, and then you don't know how. I didn't know how to relieve that engorgement. So at the beginning, you're told, like, not to pump for the first 4 weeks, but you're so engorged, it has to come out somehow.
Yeah.
So the first couple of days, it's okay if you have to relieve some of the engorgement. you're not going to create too much of an oversupply.
And by relieving, you mean pumping.
Yes. Maybe not a full pump, just to kind of take the edge off. Or hand express, like get in the shower and hand express until you feel like some relief, like softer. So at the beginning, engorgement, that's not necessarily for not draining well, or it could be. If the baby's not eating well at the breast, you could be more engorged at the beginning.
Okay.
So that's how you relieve the engorgement, is just by getting the baby on as much as possible at the beginning. You cannot overfeed a breastfed baby.
I'm glad you're bringing this up, because you told me this before, and I want you to explain this to everyone.
Yes. You cannot overfeed a breastfed baby. There's no way. They control the pace at the breast. They could get more if you have an amazing supply. Sometimes they're a little gassy. They could be a little fussy. You cannot overfeed them. If you see that they spit up after the feed, that might be a little bit more than they can handle, so it'll come right up.
Like their stomach can't handle
right.
that much?
Okay. So it just comes right up. But like, in actuality, they control the pace and they control the feeds. So they will not eat if they're not hungry.
Which is really, I wish us adults could do that, right? Yes.
That was a lot of my problems.
My stomach's not hungry anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It just stops.
I love that.
Yes. So that's the plug ducts. But later, if like you miss feeds or you miss a pump session, you will get engorged and you'll feel fullness. And then that is like the plug duct there. If you don't drain the plug duct, and it turns into an infection, that's mastitis. So with mastitis, there's different things you can do. Again, draining is number one. Drain your breast. You kind of get a fever, and it almost feels like you were hit by a truck, like run over. When I had mastitis with my second, I had a fever for 4 days straight of like 104.
Wow.
And you feel like useless. And you're supposed to take care of this baby, and you feel horrendous. So it's just draining, and then just take care of yourself. If your fever lasts more than 24 hours, call your OB.
Right, because there are antibiotics that you can get for it if it's that severe, right?
Exactly, and it's an infection. And then I recommend, if you're going to take an antibiotic, take a probiotic and give the baby a probiotic as well.
Okay. And just while, sorry, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but is there a probiotic that you recommend for babies?
There are two really good probiotics. I love BioGaia, just because I used it myself, and it has vitamin D in it, so it's actually a 2-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
So you just put like 5 drops, I think it calls for, on your pinky, and then the baby can suck it off.
Okay.
Or Claire Labs, which is a really great one that a lot of moms love, but it's a powder, so you have to put it into like a bottle.
That's what Elizabeth is. We have Avivo.
Yes.
And it's powder, and so I have to mix it with the breast milk, kind of pain in the butt.
Right.
Because, I mean, once you give her a little bit of breast milk, then she wants more. So then you're on the hook for feeding her.
Exactly. The only thing with some of the powders is I just wouldn't want them to not finish the bottle and then it's left in there. But if she finishes it, then you have nothing to worry about.
Right. Oh, yeah. She has no problem eating. Funny little girl. So with that being said, how long can one breastfeed for? And when I say how long, I mean like, what's like the common acceptable amount of time? Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Is it 2 years? I mean, I just saw a news article about a woman in London, I believe, and she was like breastfeeding her 9-year-old for comfort, you know, whenever the 9-year-old wanted to.
Right. In our country, I feel like it's less than other countries. They recommend 2 years. Actually, they recommend I feel like the WHO recommends 2 or 3 years. I don't know exactly. I have to look that up. But they recommend like extended breastfeeding. I don't know why in this country it's different. Like, of course, before a year, and they say to a year, that should be their exclusive nutrition, like is just breast for the first year of life. So, I mean, they call it extended breastfeeding, and I had a mom that said, like, why isn't there more on, like, older toddlers breastfeeding? And I don't know. I honestly don't, because I feel like there are so many benefits. I once had a pediatrician tell me after one that it was no longer nutritional. I'm not sure exactly what change is. Nothing. But for them to say that, it was almost mind-boggling to me. But there's nothing that changes. Your breast milk has antibacterial, antimicrobial properties. There are so many things that it has in it that extended breastfeeding is so beneficial too. So in other countries, like 3-4 years is normal. Here,
mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, the 1 year mark. Like, I feel like once you hit the 1 year mark, people kind of give you the side eye if you're feeding it longer, you know, they're like, I don't know about that.
Exactly. And it should be exclusive. Like I said, breast milk should be exclusive to a year. We introduce solids at 6 months, and they say to wait 6 months. Some pediatricians are pushing earlier, and their tummies really can't handle solids.
Yeah, my pediatrician actually told us when we go for her 4 month checkup in 2 weeks that we can start discussing a like meal plan.
Right.
And wild.
It's
4 months.
It's hard. I mean, I don't know the reasoning behind it, but even if you look up evidence, it shows that before 6 months, they just really, their tummies can't handle it.
Yeah, I can't imagine her tummy handling that. That's so wild. And before, you were talking about the benefits of breastfeeding, and I actually saw online that when your baby's sick, your breast milk is a whole different color because it has different, I guess, nutrients and antibodies for the baby to cure them.
It has antibodies in it to actually trigger, like, it pinpoints what they're fighting off at that point, and it makes, it's almost like they can't take antibiotics, so it's an antibiotic for them. The mom I had in here this morning said to me, he was fighting a cold last week and my milk was green when I pumped it.
No way. Oh my God, that's wild. Yes. I was actually thinking that because I'm going back to work in 2 weeks, and one of the reasons I really want to breastfeed for as long as I can is I want to get through the winter and just protect her during flu season and things like that, because I know that, God forbid she gets sick, at least like my breast milk will help her, you know, recover a lot quicker. And I was wondering if I pumped, will that still, like, will she still get that, will my body still know that she's sick?
Yes, because you're probably going to still be feeding her
at night.
So her saliva actually goes into your nipple, and she communicates with your body that she is fighting something off, and it will absolutely produce milk specifically to fight off what she's fighting.
Babies are so smart.
They are.
Like, how?
They communicate with our bodies. We have like this communication, open communication, and just like they, you know, I have a mom that said her supply was dipping because she was doing a lot of hot yoga and she was super dehydrated and she didn't realize what an effect it played on her supply. Her son was up every hour, eating every half an hour just
because he wasn't getting enough.
Right, and to boost her supply to get her back to where she was.
Oh my God. So it's
like this, they just know like how to help.
So how do you know if your milk supply is low?
You will know by, one, the baby's weight gain. The first 4 weeks, you want to watch diapers. So if they're not having the diaper goals that they need to, that's kind of how you know that they're not getting enough. And it's really hard at the beginning because you don't know what they're taking in. So you can't measure, like, you don't have a scale at home like we have here. You can't measure what their transfer is. So you just watch diapers. So if they're not hitting their diaper goals, if they're frustrated, if they're just unhappy after they come off the breast, or they're showing any kind of frustration, like they're not satisfied, you kind of know maybe they're not getting exactly what they need.
So what are some ways to boost your milk supply?
I tell moms frequent feeds, frequent pumping sessions, and then you could take supplements that you like, or just eat a good diet. There's like natural lactogenic foods out there that you can eat to help boost your supply. But most of it is just telling your body you need it and your body will make it.
I actually gave my friend, she just had twins, and I gave her Shatavari by Mother's Love. She was like, my supply is insane.
Really?
Like, absolutely, positively insane. She doesn't have to supplement for twins right now, which is crazy because usually with twins you have to supplement a little bit, you know.
Potentially. It depends, though. Some moms, like, I know a mom that fed triplets full supply.
Wild. Yeah, my friend's totally planning on doing, like, donor milk, you know, just in case. And she started taking the supplement, and she was like, it's out of control.
I'll have to write that one down.
Yeah, Shatavari. So good. I actually bought one for myself, too, just for when I go back to work. I'm paranoid. So, how do you become comfortable breastfeeding in public?
I wish there was a secret. But every mom is so different. It's like, my sister can go, and she can just feed wherever. And I envy her. Like, I'm envious of that. Like, that she just feels comfortable just...
Yeah.
And not, like, where she shows her breasts. She just can comfortably get him on and, like, be comfortable. Unfortunately, like, I want to say that I got to that point. It was hard for me to get to that point. So I feel like I would find, like, mother's rooms. I would go to Nordstrom a lot to get out. Just so I knew that there was a place that I had to feed.
Right.
But really, it's just, every mom should be confident in what they're doing. They're providing this amazing, like, nutrition for their baby, and we should not feel bad about that. We shouldn't feel embarrassed. We shouldn't feel like people are watching us or looking at us. Anytime I see moms out in public, I always want to be like, give him a card or something.
Yes,
to, like,
same. Yeah. I'm always like, it's going to be okay. If I see a mom with a newborn and she's out, I'm like, good for you.
Exactly.
Like,
you're
amazing.
Yes, incredible. Right. Because I feel like support is so much. Just to get that support from another mom, like, and feel like what you're doing is, like, worth it and you're doing everything right, then it makes it worth it. It really does make it just an amazing experience.
I totally agree. We have, like, this one, we have a PJ's Pancake House at the end of my block. And it's, like, the only place I feel comfortable breastfeeding right now. So, like, literally once a week I'll have, like, a friend over and we'll go there. And they're probably like, this woman just comes here every week to breastfeed.
Just to feed her baby. Oh.
Just because it's, like, the only place that's, like, you know, it's not, like, crazy packed or anything.
Right.
And I know I can get a corner booth. Exactly. And I have, like, my shawl that I throw over Lizzie. And, like, in the beginning she would, like, kick it and punch it. And she's like, I don't want this on me. But, yeah,
it is. It's practice.
I
think it's practice too. Like, just knowing that you could go out and you're capable of it.
It's
like,
a little stressful.
It is. It is. Yes.
But we're working on it, right, Lizzie?
She's still comfy.
She's sleeping right now and still moving her mouth as if my boob's in there. So, what is some words of encouragement that you have for new moms that are thinking about breastfeeding, or maybe moms that are just, like, they're new moms, their first time? And they're struggling, and it's just, you know, you can't imagine doing this for a year. What would you say to them?
Reach out for help, because I feel like, again, help and support is out there. And the amazing thing is, like, we accept insurances. So Aetna covers 6 visits. Blue Cross.
At 100%, mine
did. At 100%.
Yeah.
Blue Cross, it just depends on what plan you have, but we accept a lot of Blue Cross, and they cover 2, sometimes unlimited visits. And then AmeriHealth, we accept AmeriHealth, which is incredible. So you don't have to pay anything out of pocket. And there are even other resources out there. At hospitals, they have outpatient breastfeeding support. Just ask for help. And as for words of encouragement, just, I think if nothing else, just knowing it gets so much better. It just gets so much better. Every time, like, every week is a different experience. And to never, ever give up on a bad day. Give up when you're having a really good day. And you're like, I can do this. And if you still feel the need, like, to make changes, do it when you're having a good day.
I love that advice. It's like, don't make an irrational decision when you're mad, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so one last question that I ask everybody who comes on the podcast.
Okay.
And that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
I haven't been able to have kombucha because I was
breastfeeding for
so long. And I was told not, but now they say, like, store brands are totally fine.
Yeah, yeah, and if you have it, you know, in small increments. Okay, and since we got the kombucha question out of the way, let me ask you one more question that I know mothers are dying to know. Is it okay, and when is it okay, to have a glass of wine or indulge in a mimosa or tequila? Like, what is the range? What's okay?
Every day. No, I'm just kidding. If you're okay to drive your car, you are okay to feed the baby. And I know a lot of moms get nervous. If you're nervous, have the glass of wine at the end of one session, and then in 3 hours. It's such trace. And even alcohol, like, that's why I said, if you're okay to drive, you're really okay to feed the baby. I'm not encouraging drinking. I'm just saying sometimes we need a glass of wine.
Right.
With dinner, or, you know, just to calm us down. And they say that actually beer helps with the supply, but I'm really convinced that a beer just calms us down enough and helps us relax enough for our supply. But yes.
So it doesn't matter what kind of alcohol you're drinking per se?
Not really. I mean, a glass of wine and a beer, I think, have, like, similar alcohol.
Compatible.
Content. But if you look it up, I want you to look up and see if it's trace amounts that are in your bloodstream. Don't get drunk and try to, you know.
Or take shots.
Or take shots, exactly. If you have a fun night out, like, don't feed your baby, you know, like, pump, And then the next morning, it will reabsorb. So you'll be feeling like hell and hungover, which is not fun to deal with an infant at that point. But
I literally always think about that. I'm like, why even go out the night before? Because the next day is going to be like 10 times as worse as like that one fun night was.
Exactly. Because you're hungover taking care of an infant.
At like 6 a.m. and
not so fun anymore. No.
No. And how early on is that applicable? I don't think you're going to have wine in the hospital, but I'm just saying.
Listen, my family brought champagne to the delivery.
Did they? Yes, good
so
for them.
You never know. But again, like if you're okay to drive, you're okay to feed the baby. We pumping and dumping, no. We don't waste milk. And even if your milk is like a little questionable, use it in the bath. Use it for something else. Don't dump your milk. You work really hard for that.
And what do you mean when you say use it in the bath? Because I feel like that's also a really good tip.
Put, like, when you get their bath together, just put the milk in the bath, and it really is good for their skin.
Awesome. Yeah, somebody actually told me that she has, like, a little bit of a rash, and I think it might be from, like, foods that I'm eating.
Yeah.
I'm just not really sure yet. And my doctor is just like, keep eating what you're eating. Don't worry about it. Like, her body will adjust.
Yes.
Which I don't know how I feel about that, but somebody told me, like, bathe her in breast milk.
Yes.
Not that I have that much, but.
Yeah, just put a little bit
a couple drops.
Exactly.
And how do you feel about that? Do you think it's okay to eat whatever you want when you're breastfeeding? Since we kind of touched on drinking whatever you want.
I do. I think don't change anything unless you know it's an issue. So
okay.
The three triggers I would say are milk and soy and then gluten if you really feel like there's issues. But I would eat whatever you want until you know that it's an issue. Of course, there are certain things that might trigger like gassy or fussy babies, which, you know, like the broccoli, things that we know. But I wouldn't avoid them until you know that it's interacting negatively.
Okay. Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Laura. I learned so much, and I really know that everybody else will too.